Okay, so what we're gonna do now, I think, is, I mean, I know, because I'm going to decide right now what we're gonna do. Okay, we're gonna have a little panel here, this panel, and we're going to each just say briefly, well, whatever we want to say, whatever we may have missed talking about, and then you're gonna have, get a chance to talk, okay? So I will start. So the thing that I didn't say a whole lot about, that I have been thinking a lot about, is attachment to my opinions. Because the other day I was having this big discussion, political discussion, with three people, and we all agree on politics, and we were arguing. And somewhere, as I was busy, very strongly trying to convince somebody that I was right and he was wrong, it kind of, this little voice said, you sure do like your opinions, don't you? So that's kind of, I think, what I think I'm more attached to my opinions than I am to my identities and my roles, especially in this day and age. So that's kind of what I'm working on, is maybe I don't have to convince everybody in the world that I'm right, maybe. That kind of thing, yeah. And just, you know, identify it as it comes up. Oh, I'm attached to this opinion. All right, so that's what I had to say.
I had no idea what I was going to say until, but maybe following on what Linda was talking about in terms of anatta and the skandhas, I find that really a real useful scam. That when we're in a
scam.
Okay. I'm glad I clarified.
I know. The Buddha scam. No, a scam that when we're in the middle of anything that's grabbing us, you know, coagulating for us, to just scan up through the skandhas and see where we're sticky. You know, I mean, and it's sequential. I mean, it's really fascinating how brilliant, you know, the Buddha just continually blows my mind how brilliant the teachings are. That goes from, you know, body to Vedanas, which is this kind of our reptilian response to perception, that we're seeing something, we're identifying it, we're concretizing it, to mental formations of what we're thinking and planning. And each one of those is a harder to let go of sense of self. You know, most of us can think, oh, this is not, you know, hopefully, this is not me, this is a body. That's not too hard to do. But you start to get into mental formations, like, oh, this is what I'm thinking about. But we're pretty, like you were saying, yeah, that's me. You know, to let go of that, and then to be, that which we're conscious of is really subtle. So to just scan up through that can be really useful in terms of unlocking our stickiness. And to get back to the beginning, the body in particular, body and Vedanas, are incredibly powerful because we're such visceral beings, you know, so to really like continually go back to there, because a whole bunch of the stupid stuff we do has to do with what we're feeling in our bodies and that it's unpleasant, so you're the enemy.
Ooh, okay, so where do I want to go from that? I would definitely say, like Steve was saying, going through those aggregates, the ones that are really hardest to go, to let go of, are those mental formations and identifying with consciousness. And I, in my own journey to understanding anatta, I feel like that's sort of a journey I had it when I practiced for a while and I'd heard the teachings on anatta, and I was like, oh, you know, that's interesting. I don't really get it, but okay, whatever. And then I went on a longer retreat, and I had an experience where, with that more extended meditation time, my mind got quieter and quieter, and more of this trappings of me kind of faded away, you know, the personality things, my roles, my likes and dislikes and stuff, until it finally got to this place where what was left was this kind of sense of identifying with that consciousness that I am whatever is knowing. I am whatever is knowing. I was in that kind of state, and then this thought came up in my mind. What happens when that goes away? And all of a sudden, fear, you know, all this fear came up. It was like fear of not being, fear of dying, et cetera, et cetera. I was just really a basket case. My teachers really helped me, and I calmed down. Everything, you know, was better. I went home feeling confused about what I'd experienced, not quite sure what it was, not wanting to know more, and also feeling like, oh, maybe I really don't want to know more, you know. But in the midst of all of that confusion, I found that some really freeing things were happening. That tendency, a tendency I'd had to kind of feel like if something went wrong or I made a mistake, to feel like, oh, I'm a rotten person, I'm no good, you know, that self-criticism, that started to lighten up. There was this feeling, well, no, I'm not a rotten person. Sometimes good stuff arises, sometimes not so skillful stuff arises, but I'm not any one thing. And a sort of a lightening of my attachment to the different roles I played, less feeling of being all caught up in my self-image and trying to be the person I thought I was supposed to be in order to, you know, do whatever it was, you know, for my job at work, as a practitioner, et cetera, et cetera. It started to lighten up. Not like it all went away, but there was a feeling of it's not so solid. It's not so solid. So even though I was feeling really confused and unsure about this whole anatta thing and experience, it was having its effect. So I think that's a really encouraging thing, you know, that it really does, in mysterious ways, begin to free us from the pain of being stuck in ourselves.
Part of me thinks we should end with that because it's so good. So one of the things I thought about sharing in my talk but didn't is I think it was 7, 8, or 9 years ago when the guiding teachers said to Lyndall and Lauren and me that we were going to start Sunday Sit and that they thought we were, our practice was deep enough and they thought we could share the Dharma, we could be teachers. And I went, ooh, I could be a Dharma teacher. And the, you know, the whole thing of somehow feeling like I was special or did I have anything to say, and the struggling between the humility of looking at my practice and seeing all the holes in it, all the incompletion, the confusion that arises. Sometimes the sits where I'm still sleeping, like Monday nights from 7 to 9, you know, which I'm not a nighttime meditator. So all that looking at, well, who am I to be able to share the Dharma? And over the years, the experience of trusting that I actually had something to say, partly because there are all these holes in my practice, because it's I'm not enlightened. I struggle with a lot of stuff, and I have some of these old habits of mind and belief that I struggle with. That was really encouraging, and I also remembered years ago our founding teacher, Rodney, gave a series of talks, or maybe it was just one talk, on how we are utterly ordinary. And so many of us, and certainly I, want to somehow feel special. Want to, you know, you want to be acknowledged in a certain way, and like you can shine at times and want to be recognized, not in a big, not with, you know, drums and bugles and stuff, but recognized and stuff. And that tension between that desire to be seen and acknowledged and the truth of ordinariness. Much of my life, and I would imagine much of everybody else's life, is just spent maintaining life. Cooking, shopping, cooking, eating, cleaning up. Then taking a shower or bath and getting dirty again. And then laundry. And then cleaning your house. And then taking your car into for service. And just, you know, and going to work and preparing for work and doing, you know, I mean, just the ordinariness of the vast proportion of our waking hours. And then, of course, there's the sleeping hours where everybody else is doing the same thing. The both the ordinariness and the connection that if my life is just so ordinary and filled with questions and concerns and challenges, so is everybody else's. So that, and the teaching, which I heard many, many years ago, for the first time, and then appreciate it every time I hear it, that we don't practice for ourselves alone. And that there's a kind of responsibility that comes along with being ordinary, but then you're practicing not only for your own liberation, but for the liberation of others, and it's really something. Those are just some random thoughts.